What's up, Isaac?
What's up, Arch?
Yeah, man. We just finished watching the March Madness final.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know, man. It was a close game.
Except it wasn't, and then Florida came back the whole way.
Yeah.
Shout out Florida, man.
They did want to come back from where they were. I think offensively, Houston just lacked in the last 10 minutes.
But also, Clayton Jr. stepped up, going 0 for 4 in the first half.
Yeah.
Just to nail important threes when it mattered too.
Yeah, he did kind of lock in. Which sort of helped, I guess, push the offense and get the momentum back. Because I think that's what they were lacking the whole game.
Yeah, it was the timing of it.
Yeah.
They were down by 3. It was 57-60. And he hit his first 3 of the game to tie the game. That was clutch.
It was. I think ever since the Francis dunk on number 10, I forget his name.
Yeah.
I think Houston had the momentum from that, at the beginning of the game. Mind you, that was a crazy dunk.
Yeah, that was nuts. Start of the game. Way to open it up, too.
Yeah, just killed it, man. Nah, I think that gave them momentum going into, majority of the first half. And then from that, Florida just... they obviously went down, I think, 12 at one point.
Yeah.
Down 12 points.
They were down by a lot.
Yeah. It was a tough matchup.
Generational lock-in.
It was. I think we have to, obviously highlight the fact that that last... 3-point attempt was pretty abysmal.
That was trash.
Respect to him for not picking it up and traveling and just giving them the ball straight away.
They gave them a shot if the team was on the same page to know that you dropped the ball, someone's got to get it.
He jumped up and he wanted the shot and he just backed out as soon as Clayton showed up again. Talking about Clayton again, showed up.
If I was them, I don't know if I would have gone from the arc. I would have taken it back, get some more space in it so you can at least get a shot off that's not contested.
Look, the thing is, they didn't even need the 3. It was a 2-point game.
They could have just tied it and won in overtime.
And don't get me wrong, that guy needs to go play some more 2K, get Hall of Fame bailout, and just dish it out to some guy on the wing and just go for an easy 2. I don't know. It was rough to watch. It was sad to see, but respect to Florida for coming back.
Good coaching on the Gator side, too.
Getting the win. Yeah, I respect the coach of that team. He's good.
All right, we're on the basketball topic. We'll stay on the basketball topic. Yeah. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to?
I think I'll go first, see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. So, first thing I've got, I want to talk about Jokic. I want to talk about the Joker.
The MVP.
Realistically, you should be the MVP of the league.
Averaging a 30-point triple-double on the best efficiency we've ever seen from him after he's got 3 MVPs already.
I know. This is his best MVP year, and he might not even win it.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
It's the greatest statistical season we've ever seen.
I think so. And efficiency-wise, too. It's just up there for what he's doing. My question is Jokic officially in the top 10 players of all time? I think he's got to be close. What more is there to argue? That man has 3 MVPs, recently put up a 60-10-10 game, a 30-20-20, first in NBA history for both of those things. If you look at that, think about it, as a neutral, you don't know who's playing, you don't know who's putting up that scoreline. You see that stat line, you're wow, that he's got to be the best player ever, right?
If you just put Shea's numbers against Jokic's numbers, it's unanimous MVP to Jokic.
Oh, absolutely. I think what he's doing is just so incredibly hard to do that I think it's hard to say he's not at least in top 10 conversations. He might not be in the top 10, but I think he's getting in the conversation minimum. What else does he need to do? He has 3 MVPs. He's got... what?
The ring. The ring is probably the most important.
He's got a ring
thing
as well. Yeah, don't get that wrong too. Don't get me wrong, if he had a couple more of those, I think it's more solidified, but...
he's got the same amount of MVPs as Larry Bird.
Yeah. And the problem is, I think when we talk about Jokic and his rings, you have to take into consideration the fact, the huge drop of offensive efficiency his team takes when he's off the court.
Yeah. Those rings are Jokic ring. That's not a Denver Nuggets ring.
I like to say Jamal Murray contributes a little bit. Because he kind of steps up in playoffs, but not as much as Jokic does. He's still not as much as what Jokic does for the team. I think I saw something somewhere where on the court, Jokic, obviously, about his team offensive rating is one of the highest of all time, in around the 130s. And as soon as he's off the court, or like he doesn't play a game, drops to 80, like, yeah, which is the worst of all time.
That's like insane.
The fact that one player can have such a huge effect on a team like that is insane.
Like, it's, that team is generationally mid.
Like, yeah, it really is.
How are they the four seed in a stacked Western Conference? They're above the Grizzlies. They're above the Warriors, yeah, with Jimmy Butler. That team is so bad.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray's playing terribly. Michael Porter Jr. is okay at best. Aaron Gordon is not that good.
He's not what he was.
And Russ has his nights. But even Russ is, like, I will be a Russ fan every day, every year.
Yeah. But he's not playing who he used to well. Be.
That team is worse than the four seed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Jokic is carrying them hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a switch of a topic, but I kind of respect the fact that he did bring Russ to that team.
Yeah, true.
Like, imagine two of the greatest of all time triple-double scorers on the one team. Like,
he's making a 36-year-old Russ look better than he's looked in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I kind of respect how he played for us in the Clippers last year, but it is what it is. I think you can't discredit what Jokic is doing for that team. There's no one else who's really close to the
caliber. In terms of lifting up his teammates, it's him and LeBron.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Say Jokic wasn't on that team. It was just the Jamal Murray team. That team's like 8 seed at best. Like, not even a play-in team, I would say.
And in like, I know it's not an MVP discussion, but if you take Shea off the Thunder, they're a playoff team. They're a
absolutely. Six,
I take...
They got Chet, they got J-Dub, they got Lou Dort, Alex Caruso, Hartenstein. Like, they are, that's a solid team. That's a playoff
team. I would take them over... Maybe not the Grizzlies. I would take them over the Kings, the Mavs.
Yeah. I think you can.
They put up a fight against your Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, they are a good team.
They're a good team even without Shea.
The Nuggets without Jokic are losing to the Kings in four.
They're nothing. Like, it's just, it's a huge loss to say he's not there. I think it's, for me, I think he's got to be top 10 quality. Like, in the fact, people will look at his defense and then say that's the reason that he's not up there, but my guy actually has good defense. Like, he's getting like average 13 boards. Like, what's Wemby averaging? He's the best defensive player in the year. I know he doesn't get blocks and steals like he does, but he still gets
them. Like, who in the top 10 at the moment is our conversation here? It's Larry Bird, or maybe not. It's Kobe.
Yeah.
When we start having Kobe and Jokic talks.
Yeah, I think like just outside the top 10. You know what I mean? I'm talking like
Kobe only Jokic, got one MVP.
I think Kobe's there too. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you look at the MVPs too, like best player in the league. Like Jokic is playing against, like, what, Steph Curry?
The,
like,
Nuggets general LeBron manager James has been so bad. Jokic in his 10-year career has played with no All-Stars, no All-NBA teammates, no All-Defensive Team teammates.
Yep.
No, he's got, they haven't drafted anyone
him.
Good.
He's had nothing around him.
The only good draft pick has been, Christian like, Brown. Or Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
It's been those two out of 10 years. But they're still
mid players. Like, they're barely starter players for some teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it's really hard to go past the fact that he is one of the best players of all time.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, and it's hard to say, because what he's been going against is crazy too. And people say, like, you can talk about how Kobe's got that clutch factor that might be a bit better than Jokic's, but again, imagine being a team playing 23.9 seconds of great defense, seeing Jokic in the corner at half court. He hit a full court Euro step. Jokic has made
two shots this year over 70 foot.
Yes. Like,
oh, disgusting.
Like, how many has Steph Curry made this year over 70 foot?
None.
Like, and Jokic is doing that too. Like, you play 23.9 seconds of great defense, Jokic chucks something up, nothing but net. He does have that clutch factor too. Don't get me wrong, it's not what Kobe was, like, in the last final seconds of the game, but, like, that guy can pull through 9 out of 10 times when his team needs it.
Yeah, nuts.
Like, it's hard to go past that and say it's not contributing to how he's affecting the game.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, how do you guard that guy? Like,
and
it's a center. It's like Tim Duncan, you know what I mean? And Dirk Nowitzki. Like, those guys are agile bigs. Like, yeah. Dirk Nowitzki had that, like, he had his signature move, like the fadeaway mid-range.
Yeah.
Couldn't guard that. Like, Jokic has just got so many tools in his locker that it's hard for him to not, like, sort of be effective on the rim.
And, like, we're having top 10 conversations now. if he gets this MVP, which he should, then it's hard not to just accept that he's in the
top. And I saw something the other day where it's likely that the media is going to not want to give it to him because he's going to be the same caliber as LeBron.
Yeah.
And people aren't ready for those conversations. And I think it's the same thing to what happened with LeBron. Like when he was on his fourth MVP, he definitely had a season good enough to win a fifth.
Yeah.
But I don't think the media was ready to have the conversation, is LeBron better than Jordan yet?
That's true.
And I think they obviously have such a huge role on who wins the MVP that they can change it to how they want it to be.
Because there's all these journalists and stuff, and they realize that if they give this MVP to Jokic, then they're the ones who have to start talking about...
Oh, exactly.
They've got to start making these claims.
Yeah, exactly. And people, don't get me wrong, Jokic isn't as big as a face as LeBron and Jordan is.
No, but he doesn't want to be.
He doesn't want to be. That guy is a generational guy who just doesn't want to play basketball.
Which is nuts.
He's that good. Imagine if he did want to play basketball. How good would he be there?
He'd be over.
Like, he'd actually be so good.
Unlike Anthony Edwards' volume, it'd be crazy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's wild. Anyways, I think it's just easy for me to say. I think Jokic should at least be top 10 of all time conversation. For me personally,
all right.
He cracks the 10. He's
I like
10th,
that.
10th of all time for me.
10th.
At this point.
Is he better than KD?
Yeah, for me.
Wow.
I think...
saying that convincingly is kind of crazy.
I think... well, okay.
Better than the greatest scorer of all time.
If we can talk about... oh, I wouldn't even put KD as the greatest scorer of all time.
No?
If we're talking about prime of people, I'm putting Harden there. Every day. Okay. Like, he's averaging 40! Like, Harden was that guy. When
yeah,
he was
you're right.
And you can talk about greatest scorers of all time. Like, I think Kobe's going to be in that conversation too.
True.
I think you can just say Kobe's better than KD, and that's a fact. But... yeah, I think put Kevin Durant against Jokic. Jokic is scoring, 60 points in some games? Like,
that's true.
You can't even say greatest scorer of all time when Jokic is putting up these numbers consistently. Like, he's averaging 30, 13, and, 11 assists.
That's true. And we're not Nuggets fans either.
No.
We're just, I don't know. That's crazy.
Good basketball fans. anyways,
all right.
Let's move on.
Next player I want to talk about is Josh Giddey.
Josh Giddey.
And what on earth
could
is going on?
Could you call him Baby Jokic?
No.
What do you mean? He's averaging triple doubles as well. Like, that guy's putting up the same sort of numbers as he's eating Jokic, but just at a younger age.
Listen, are Josh Giddey's stats meaningful? Is, I guess, what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because he's putting up great, great numbers.
Yeah.
But on the Bulls.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Like, I get what you mean, but. Even then, to stand out on a team in the NBA in general is a thing. Because they're playing against top-level teams and he's still putting up those numbers.
Yeah, I guess.
You look at what he did at OKC, he was still averaging. Like, it wasn't what he's averaging here. And it was only for 2 years. But he was still averaging good numbers.
Yeah, but I think he's been given the full green light. He's put, Cam Thomas on the Nets has put up 40 multiple times this season. And it's because there's nobody else on that team who can do anything.
Right.
Like, he was obviously less on the Thunder, and I don't think he's actually taken any growth. I just think he's been given more of a role to just do whatever he wants.
Right.
He's getting boards offensive rebounds over no one.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
getting he's making assists because nobody else is handling the ball.
Well, if you're talking about if Giddey's numbers matter, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who's the number one guy on the Bulls? Is it Kobe White or is it Josh Giddey?
It's probably Josh Giddey now.
You think so? Scoring wise, or
not scoring?
Scoring
but just,
wise, I think it's absolutely Kobe White.
Yeah, he's.
But in terms
he's
of pushing the ball
plays.
Up the court, I think that's a different type of player that you have to be.
Yeah, you're right.
And Josh Giddey is that kind of guy.
All right. Last five games for Josh Giddey: 23, 10, and 8.
Yeah.
15, 9, and 12 triple double.
Yeah.
17, 12, and 7.
Yeah.
15, 10, and 8.
Yeah.
And then 25, 14, and 11 triple double.
I think he's
that is insane
up, like,
stats.
It's respectable numbers. Like, to me, it reminds me, you could almost think of a Russell Westbrook at the Clippers last year.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the first scoring option, but he's a guy who can do what he wants, with the ball when he needs to.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, I think it's hard to go past the fact that as a player, you have to be so good all around to even get a triple-double.
It's true.
like as an NBA player, like you're at the top level of everything, you have to be so good at what? Defense to get rebounds, even offensive rebounds. I've seen Giddy get plenty of those too.
Like our triple double people are LeBron, Luka, Jokic.
Yeah.
And is Josh Giddy the fourth best triple double?
Giannis could be there at this point too.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think it's hard to say as a player in the NBA, you have to be so good at everything to even get close to a triple double. And Giddy's doing that consistently.
Like, it's true.
And can we also talk about the fact that you have to be pretty good at basketball for everyone to forget about the claims that you've had against you.
That's true. Because he was putting up trash numbers on the Bulls when he first got traded. People were like, I don't know.
Yeah. And now he's stepped up and they love him there. I think it also a huge contribution to how he's playing is the city that he's in. I think Chicago had taken him on really well and they've given him the confidence to play basketball. Like, and with the city that loves you, it's hard to not play good basketball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, look at Ben Simmons. What happened to him when Philly started hating him?
Yeah, he took that. He was very, I don't want to say sensitive, but
he had injuries and everything too. But yeah, Philly is a tough city to.
It's true. Please. Like, you won the Super Bowl and there's riots and.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I guess this leads me into my next topic. If that's all right.
Yeah.
Who do you take in a play-in game out of the Bulls and the Heat?
Bulls in the Heat?
Yep. Is the 9 and 10 matchup at the moment.
I think I've got to say the Heat.
The Heat? They're the 10 seed.
I personally would take the Heat.
All right.
I think playoff Heat's different, man.
What Andrew Wiggins is doing over in the Heat.
Yeah. I think part of the whole picture of who playoff Jimmy is because of the Heat's culture. I remember first playoff series I was watching when I first started watching the NBA, and I watched a Heat game. It was hard to go past the fact, like it was a home game too, it was hard to go past the fact and not notice how loud that crowd was.
Yeah, nuts.
Like the Heat are known for being in the ears of the opposing team, and they are loud. And I think also how Tyler Hero stepped up this year. Like, to me, he doesn't look like a rookie anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you sort of have to get over a sort of hump to look like a rookie. And for me, Tyler Hero hasn't really done that this year.
Like, who are the sophomores this year that are, like, are standing out? You've got, like...
you got Jaime Jaquez.
Except for Wemby. But you've got, like, Keontae George is still a sophomore.
Yeah.
What's his name? Scoot Henderson.
Yeah.
None of these guys are actually making leaps yet.
Like, we were talking about Brandon Miller as well in that conversation too.
Well, he's just been injured all year.
Yeah, I know. But he's still, when he's there, he's putting on numbers.
Like, alright. So you've got Heat over Bulls in a playing matchup. So.
Okay, let's talk about matchups, like in terms of lines. We got, at the center position,
it's Bam.
I think Bam
over Vooch. Bam over Vooch.
I think, easy. I think power forward, you've got, Jaime Jaquez on the Heat, and then who have you got on the Bulls? I think it's...
I don't watch... Is it Patrick Williams? I don't know.
Yeah, it might be.
I don't watch Heat basketball, man.
But I think Jaime Jaquez is... Offensively, it's good. I don't know how much I rate his defense as much. But if you go guard play, Tyler Hero versus Kobe White, or...
It's probably Tyler Hero, hey.
I think it's Tyler Hero. I think you got Duncan Robinson against...
They've got Giddey. Bam starting at the four, and then their rookie, Khalil Ware, starting at the five.
Oh, yeah. Khalil Ware. I forgot about that guy. He's been respectable as a rookie this year.
I'd probably take Vooch over him, though. But then I'll take Bam over Patrick Williams.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Is Giddy playing the three or the two?
He's the two.
Yeah, so I think if we talk about the two...
Starting two on the Heat is Alec Burks.
Yeah. I think we take Giddy there.
Yeah.
Who's the threes?
Andrew Wiggins and... Let me find out.
It's not Jaime, is it? It would be Jaime if they're playing... If they're playing Bam at the four and then...
No, they've got Andrew Wiggins for the Heat.
The five. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then Matas Buzelis for the Bulls.
Oh, Buzelis, yeah. Actually, by the way, can we talk about how far that guy fell in the draft?
Yeah, he's so good.
About 2 years ago, he was projected to be the number one pick, like, clearly.
Yeah, he's so good.
And then I think it's a steal for the Bulls to get him because he's a quality player.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd definitely be close, but for me, I think the Heat can just pull it off. I know it's not a home game, but I think I just like their offense a bit better. Because don't get me wrong, Kobe White's good, but he's not consistent enough for me.
Well, then the next play-in matchup is the 7-8 Magic Hawks.
Magic Hawks?
Yeah.
I think Magic they turn.
Yeah. Listen, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up losing, but then
yeah,
the loser will just play the Heat.
I think for our sake, we want the Hawks to win, because then the Spurs don't get a better pick.
That's true, because then they're not in the lottery at all.
Yeah, and that's probably better.
So we just need the Hawks to win either game. They need to either win the 7-8 or the other game. Spurs
dynasty incoming.
I would cry.
It'll happen, I think.
Eventually.
Yeah. It's hard to not see it happening. But yeah.
Well, can Franz and Paolo work together and they still don't have Jalen Suggs?
Yeah. I don't know.
It depends on Dyson Daniels and on Yekra Kongu.
He's been stepping up well. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really... It's a lot closer. In terms of less quality in the East.
Yeah.
I think the West is going to be harder to decipher because every team at least has one star.
And then we have no clue who's going to be in the play-in.
Oh, West. Yeah.
Because it's full... Like,
four teams are the same.
Have the exact score. Same record.
Yeah.
So, like, Denver could be falling to the 8th seed.
Yeah.
And that changes everything.
Even, like, Clippers could go 3rd seed. I think it's still a possibility somehow, which just isn't going to happen.
Well,
the
Grizzlies are the 8th seed and they could be the 3rd seed.
Exactly. Like, we're all on the same record. Like, anything that, like, go to 3 to 8 is completely...
It's up for grabs.
It's up for grabs for anything. I think it's going to take a lot for the Lakers to fall.
Yeah, I think they'll end up being anywhere from the 2 to 4.
I think it's going to be 4 and 3 for me.
Yeah, and then Rockets are going to stay as the 2? Probably, hey.
I think Rockets will stay as the 2. I don't see the Lakers pulling off. Like, I think Rockets have to lose a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like, in the last stint.
And then that 5, 6, 7, 8 is completely up for grabs, which is cool to think about when you think about how important these matchups are.
Yeah. I can see 8 going to Memphis, to be honest. I don't really see them going much higher than that.
At the moment, the play-in matchup out West is Timberwolves, Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And it's probably Timberwolves.
Again, as a Clippers fan, I would personally prefer to play in the play-ins because I want the chance to get the Rockets over the Nuggets and the Lakers.
I'm going to be honest. I just don't believe in the Rockets at all. Like, out West, I would take nearly every team over the Rockets.
I think I completely agree with you.
And, like, shout out to them, man. They're the 2 seed, but yeah. I would take the Nuggets. I would take the Clippers. I would take the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Timberwolves all over the Rockets.
Yeah, I think so too.
I just don't think what they're doing is going to be winning basketball when it comes to winning playoff series.
I think the star player in Jalen Green, like... Love that guy, he's so good, but he just is not consistent enough.
He doesn't step up when it matters.
Like, even Şengün's there too, like, he doesn't do it at the same level either. Like, I think it's hard to see them beating many of the teams there.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that maybe they'll have an advantage on one of the teams is, like, their center play against, like, for example, the Golden State.
Yeah, or the Lakers.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't see them having much of an advantage over anyone else.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that they will.
That's all right, though.
Yeah. Like,
still, the Rockets they weren't a playoff team last year. They were the 11th seed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've gone from the 11th seed to the 2 seed, which is nuts. So shout out Rockets, but yeah, like...
It's a huge jump, and they've done really well this year. I just think it's hard to picture that team winning a championship.
And
like, even if they somehow did get to the finals, do they beat... The Cavaliers, do they beat the Celtics, do they beat the Knicks? Like,
no.
I don't see that happening. Like, in that they have to get to the finals through the harder conference as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to walk through OKC, you have to walk through Lakers, Denver. Like, it's hard to see them winning that.
And then back to the East, like, 2 teams come out of the playoffs and take the 8 seed and the 7 seed.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who comes out of those 4 teams, they're both getting swept against the Cavs and the Celtics.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it's...
Like we're talking about
this
playoff.
I can't see either team
it doesn't matter.
Putting up a significant fight.
No, none of them. And I'm like, even thinking about what needs to happen for them to beat like the Celtics or the Cavs.
I just don't see
nothing
it.
At all. Like, Trae Young could go on the most demon run we've ever seen, and they still get swept by the Celtics.
Yeah. I think like the Cavs have probably been on worse form as of recently.
Yeah, they went 6-6 in the last 12 games.
But even then, they've still been
Yeah.
It's still the cat.
But because they don't need to try. They've locked up the one seed.
It's hard for them to not just slow it down a little bit. But yeah, I think moving on to my next topic.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how the Clippers are going to look in the next 10 years. Because for me, as a Clippers fan, it's hard to have any faith in where this is going. Like, don't get me wrong, next 5 years, we don't even have a first pick. Like, the next time we own our own first round pick. Because you get all the way for
the guy who left in free agency. Let's not talk
about that. That's a different topic, all right? we're going to talk about the fact that we don't own a single first, like, one of our first round picks until 2030. And that is 5 years away.
I'm just glad you guys are a playoff team this year, because if you guys were bad, the Thunder were getting your unprotected pick.
Oh, absolutely. If we were bad this year, the Thunder would have gone, like, stepped up big time. Like, they could have nearly got Cooper Flagg picking for you this year.
Like if you guys were bad, year. If Kawhi stayed injured, or even if Norman Powell didn't step up?
I think if we can keep what we've got at now, like with Harden, Zoo, and Kawhi.
Harden's old.
Like, I know that two of those guys are old. Zoo's the only one who's still got a little bit of time left in him, if that. But I think we can still be a playoff team next year. But I don't see us being a playoff team much longer than that.
Yeah.
I think we'll be a play-in team next year, maybe play-in team the next, but I think that's pushing it, to be honest with you. Because Kawhi, he's going to want to stop playing basketball soon because of his injuries. He can't keep it up for too much longer. When he's healthy, he's so good, by the way. He just won Western Conference Player of the Week.
Yeah, shout out
and
to him, man.
And rightfully so. Like, he's come back from a lot of adversity, and people always say that he doesn't want to play basketball, but when he comes back, when he's fully healthy, he plays basketball really well.
Yeah.
Like, and he actually tries for our team. I don't think it's the fact that he doesn't want to play. I think it's just the fact that mentally he can't get over these injuries.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, so we, as a team, don't own a first-round pick until
Yeah, I've got it here. I'll give you the picks that you have and then the picks that you don't have.
Yeah.
You've got your 2026 second, 2027 first, 2029 first, with some pick swaps. 2030
The thing
first.
Is, we don't actually own any of those. No. So we have some rights to them on certain circumstances, but more often than not, it's on the worst side of it.
The picks you don't have.
Yeah.
Your 2025 first, your 2025 second, which came to us in Jazz. 2026 first, 2026 second, 2027 first, 2027 second. This is crazy.
We've got nothing, dude. Like, well, we have to pick up a lot of free agents pretty soon.
Yeah.
We need Steve Ballmer to invest a lot of money so people can actually want to come to our team. That's our only hope is free agents.
The only thing like, that you've got going for you free is that you're in LA.
Let's hope that like a guy like Giannis doesn't want to stay at the Bucks anymore, wants to go to free agency, come to the Clippers.
Send Giannis to the Pacers. That would be a demon matchup that would with be. Tyrese.
It would be crazy. But yeah, I think and you can't even put it past the fact that the West is quickly becoming an extremely dominant conference.
Like the season like, the Pelicans had, how much of that was just injuries?
A lot of it.
And so if they can not be injured, they're
Mind
coming
you,
back next
if they
year
get
to
Cooper
be...
Flag too, like they have a really bad record. There's a chance that they can get the first pick.
But even I trust Zion's development.
I think Zion, he's extremely underrated for
I
who
rate
he is.
Zion.
Like, he's such a good player, but
like when he's on
he's
the court,
just never on the court.
He's been on minute restrictions, and he's been playing like 25 minutes a game.
Yeah,
and
he's
scoring
putting
like
up numbers.
28 a game.
Exactly, it's so good. Like it's really hard to say that he's not a good basketball player, and that you can trust. Like, look at it right now. Who would you say is developed more from that class? Like, who would you say is developed better, Ja or Zion? Like, Ja's obviously had time off the court as well. Like, he rose to his stardom a lot quicker than what Zion.
He's also fallen off.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I mean. Like, because of his time off, Memphis have had to adjust how they play, and now it's a style that doesn't suit Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And I think, I could say they're pretty well on par for how good of a quality they are at the moment.
And considering how many people hype up Ja and just to bring down Zion,
yeah,
but they're very, very similar situations.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's, I don't see a huge difference in it.
No.
But yeah, the West is just, it's really dominant. Like, it's funny how it used to be the East, like back in Michael Jordan era, like the East was that side. Like,
yeah,
it was so dominant. And then like, I think it's hard to say that the East are even close to the West at this point.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of stars in the West is just so much more.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And for a team like the Clippers who don't have much of a future going forward, it's hard to see them pulling together a team that can beat some of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is, like, you say, oh, LeBron's retiring soon, but now they got Luka. Like, they're still good for the next 10 years, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy for Lakers fans what they would be thinking going through their head. Oh, LeBron's retiring soon. What are we going to do? Who's going to be our next star?
Now they've got Luka.
Somehow they pulled off Luka. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to see any competition through that. I've got one more topic on NBA. You still got one? Or?
I have one as well. Right. And how long do we have?
We got time. So I can. We'll do my last because it's just top 10 players of all time. But quickly go through yours and then we'll.
Well, I just reckon at the moment, we've got a LeBron Curry matchup. Yeah. I just want to know what your thoughts are on that and who comes out.
Oh, true. Yep.
Because that would feed families.
Oh, absolutely. It would feed generations.
Because you've got Luka and LeBron against Curry and Jimmy.
Like, obviously, we've seen LeBron and Curry a lot of times in the playoffs before. And every single time, it hasn't failed to just be pure cinema.
Yeah. And also, you've got, as of now, the favorite to win DPOY in Draymond Green.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But then you've got, like, Austin Reeves, who can just turn it on at any given point.
Austin Reeves is underrated too. I think he stepped up really big time.
He's probably the best third option in the league.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
It's him and like Kristaps.
I've yet to see Luka be as consistent as he was at the Mavs, but he's still Luka.
Yeah.
And it's harder for him because he's not the one star on a team, so he's obviously having to give up the bit of the load to LeBron and Austin a bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why he sort of dropped off. So I'm not taking anything away from his talent, but I think in the playoffs we're going to see the true Luka come out because that's what happens.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I hate to say it, but I think I don't see Curry stopping Luka. Jimmy might have to guard him, which might keep it a bit tighter. And playoff Jimmy.
That's what I was about to say.
We haven't seen playoff Jimmy.
He's putting all he's got into playoff Jimmy
at the Warriors yet. So I can't guarantee he's going to be the same guy, but I'd love to see him pull it off. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a great matchup. If it happens, but it's hard to say because obviously it's so up in the air at the moment.
Because the two ones that you've got is Curry and Luka. Who, like, we'll run down the roster.
Yeah.
Who do you have out of those two?
I think it's going to be Luka at this point. Offensively,
it's probably Luka.
But I think Luka is obviously taller, he's a bit bigger, he's stronger. Like, he's just, I think playmaking wise, he's a bit better too. He offers just a little bit more on the court than I think Curry does at the moment.
But it's like,
obviously,
it's
if Curry turns it on, it's wraps. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like the game.
Like, Curry had 37, 32, and 52 in his last three games.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if Curry gets hot, the game's done.
Yeah.
But I think just the way it is consistency-wise, I think Luke is a little bit further forward than Curry has been this season.
Yeah, then you go down and you've got Austin Reeves against, I think it's Brandon Podziemski that's starting for the Warriors.
Yeah, Brandon Podziemski.
That's Austin Reeves every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, I agree. Defensively, Pods is like, he's good, but I don't know. I think he's still young. He's not as much experience as Austin's got, and I think Austin just takes that matchup pretty quick.
Yeah.
Then
the three is Jimmy and Rui.
And it's Rui. I think Jimmy clear.
Absolutely.
That one's not really hard to go past.
The four is probably Draymond and LeBron. And at the moment, it's LeBron.
Yeah.
And but that's pretty simple.
The thing is, Draymond offers so much defensively that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason it's sort of like conversation, right? Like, but LeBron's LeBron. He's going to be able to get past Draymond. He's done it multiple times before. He knows how he works. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as, like, sort of hard to say that LeBron's going to be better in that sort of sense.
And then the center position we should just give to the Warriors. Jackson Hayes and, like, Trace Jackson Davis?
I thought it was Moody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will still give it to the Warriors.
Yeah, I'll still give it to the Warriors.
But then, so we've got, obviously, Luka, A. Reeves, and LeBron taking the three, which makes it 3-2.
Yeah.
But then you've also got Curry and Draymond, so you can't really count out the Warriors at all.
No, I don't think you can.
And I think the only way to, I hope we get this in the series, man.
It would be awesome. I'd love to see it. But yeah, it's again, it's hard to say. So up in the air at the West at the moment that it's hard to say we're going to get it. But last thing on NBA. I'm just going to quickly, since the first episode, want to get the opinions. Top 10 players of all time. I've got my list here. I'll give you a bit of time to think while I sort of talk you through it. I've got LeBron at the one. I think it's hard to say MJ's up there as much anymore. Like, obviously, MJ's still MJ, but
we're done with the 90s.
I think LeBron has done so much more for the game. He's been so much better at every single category of basketball than Jordan has been. Like, and yes, Jordan's probably a little bit more of an efficient scorer, but LeBron can keep up with him any day of the week. Like, and he just does more in terms of playmaking. He's a pass-first player. He's, like, top five in assists of all time. Jordan's not even on the list. Like,
top three.
Like, it's insane how LeBron, as a pass-first player, keeps the points still going just as much as what Jordan has done. Offers, I think, much more defensively. There's obviously talks about recently how Michael Jordan's sort of DPOY year was actually a bit stat padded. I'm not going to get into that, but if it happens, that sort of takes away, obviously, from it. But I think LeBron is just a true GOAT. obviously, you got MJ at seconds. Won't get into too much with that. I've got Kareem at three. That guy was just an athlete. Like, he played similar longevity to what LeBron did. I think some teams were actually still offering him contracts when he was about 45 years old just because he's Kareem. Like, he's just an athlete. I've got Bird at four. I know it's a bit controversial, but that guy, look at his highlights. He was special. Like, he's similar. He reminds me of, like, a, I don't know, it's hard to say. He reminds me, like, obviously a really good, like, sort of the way Kevin Durant even plays a bit. Like, he's just that good sort of on the scoring side of things, and he also offers a bit more in terms of playmaking and stuff as well. Like, not the highest level, but just up there. I've got Curry at five.
At five?
Yeah. I think Curry has been extremely underrated in terms of what he's done all time for the game and how he's affected it. Tell me right now, is anyone better at shooting than him? No. Like, that guy, if you play against him, and you ask any NBA player this, how to guard Curry, they could not give you an answer. Like, that guy is all over the court at all times, and it's hard to say that he doesn't deserve at least a top five position for me. That's why I've got him at five. then I've got Tim Duncan. That guy is just, he's so efficient at everything he did. He was just the greatest power forward of all time, I think. And he just offered so much to that dynasty that the Spurs had. It's hard to not have him here. I've got Shaquille O'Neal, obviously most dominant center of all time. The like 90s version of Giannis, 2000 Giannis. Like, he's Shaq. What else do I need to say? I've got Kobe at eight. Obviously, Mamba mentality, that guy was clutch. Kobe, to score like 60 points in your last ever game, he just never gave up. Like, that guy was just something different. I've got Wilt at nine. Obviously, 100-point game. Wilt's always a bit of a controversial one just because it's hard to know what he was able to do.
Like, he averaged 50 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And it's like, how much respect are we putting on that?
But back in the day, obviously, it wasn't nearly as competitive.
Because he was 6'8"?
Yeah.
The rest of the league would have been like 6 foot.
Yeah. And it's obviously, it's hard to really have that conversation because obviously so much of it wasn't recorded as well. So it's easy to just sort of skip over that. But then we've got Jokic at 10. Obviously, talked a lot about him earlier. Don't really need to get into it. I've said what I've said on him. I think he deserves that spot, to be honest with you.
Do you have Magic on your list?
I do not. I have him at 11. Is where I would have him.
Yeah, right. Well, Jokic isn't on my list.
Yeah.
And I've got my... I'm going to go bottom up.
Yeah.
I've got Kobe at my 11.
11 or 10?
Yeah, 11.
Okay.
Kobe doesn't make my top 10.
Right.
And I don't know what you're going to think of this as I go. I guess I have Magic higher than you have Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Magic was like 6'9 and revolutionized passing. Absolutely. He was Jokic before he was Jokic. He was 6'9 point guard. And then he played center in his first chip because Kareem got injured.
Yep.
What? All right, so I'm going to go. My 10 is Larry Bird.
Yep.
9 is Bill Russell. Yep. 11 championships. Hard to get a better resume than that.
Yep.
My 8 is Wilt.
Mm-hmm.
My 7 is Magic.
Mm-hmm.
My 6 is Curry.
Yep.
My 5 is Shaq.
Yep.
My 4 is Tim Duncan.
Yep.
And then my three is Kareem, two is MJ, one is LeBron.
Okay.
So I think
obviously, I think from three down, it's very switching. Like, you can easily switch it around.
Yeah.
So I think I definitely like how you've got it. Obviously, I would change a couple of things, but I think from three down, both of ours are pretty similar too, in terms of who's there.
I might put Hakeem higher than I put Larry Bird. So I might have Hakeem 10, Larry Bird 11, Kobe 12.
Yeah.
And then from there, it would just go KD, Jokic.
Yeah. All those guys.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. We might move on to NFL then.
Yeah, sweet. We'll change up segments.
You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I think it's coming up decently soon. We'll start with the draft. The Titans, I think it's like I've been going on like Instagram and stuff. I think it's a pretty overall consensus that the Titans will take Cam Ward as number one overall.
Yeah.
Not at all saying he's the best player. I would take Travis Hunter over Cam Ward. I would take
Ashton Jeanty.
Maybe I would take Abdul Carter over Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But he's just what the Titans need. And in terms of quarterback play, he's better than Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
So I think Cam Ward is going one.
Right. I can see that.
Then the Giants have number two.
Yep.
Or is it the Browns? It's the Browns that have number two.
Yeah.
And you've got a few different moves you can take with the Browns. I think my favorite that I'm looking at is you stay trash for another year. You've just got Myles Garrett to sign an extension.
Somehow. That was
and
insane how he did that.
I think the next move, if you're the Browns DM, is you sign Abdul Carter. Is you draft him as number two.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a demon edge rusher. Yes. And if you can pair Myles Garrett with Abdul Carter, you're still going to be bad for another season.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think if you can tank again, but have that really scary looking defense of Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett, then you get a high spot, you target another QB, and then next year you're looking really scary. You're looking like... like, if you can set up an entire squad and just put a rookie QB with decent experience, like, I think you target the guy who wins the national championship next year and just try and put him into a winning situation and try and get the best you can out of him.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're the Browns and you go for a QB this year and say you take Shedeur Sanders because Cam Ward is off the board, then I don't think you get as high of a pick. I think you go, okay, because DJ Moore's looking all right, and then you have Myles Garrett, and I think you get somewhere in the middle, like where the Falcons are this year at like 15, 14.
Yeah.
And I think you don't get as good of a defense then as you could have if you get Abdul Carter this year and switch it for a QB next year.
I think defense-wise, Browns already nearly have the best in the league, though. Like, they're already really, really scary.
It's who? It's them. It's...
Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles are scary. Maybe not anymore.
But yeah, I think it's definitely up in the air. But I do think it's hard though, because how can you guarantee it's going to be such a good quarterback in there next year?
Yeah.
Like, is the quality going to be higher or lower? And are they going to have as good of a pick next year? Because they might actually do quite well this year.
With that defense. With that,
such a good defense that they have. Because they've made moves this offseason to get some good players. Like, they've obviously extended Myles Garrett, best like edge rusher in the league.
Hey, they signed Kenny Pickett from the Eagles. They're scary.
He's good. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I do think it's hard for them to pass up on either option.
Yeah, like, because if you don't take Abdul Carter, does he go to the Giants? I think the Giants would take him just because he's a great piece.
I don't know. I think Travis Hunter could go Giants. Like,
that's what I was about to say, like, next, if the Browns take Abdul Carter. Because
one of my topics is, obviously, where's Travis Hunter going to end up?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we can just kind of combine these two topics. So I think personally, the Giants are a fantastic fit for Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Because what I see in them getting Travis Hunter is I see Malik Nabers still as the clear number one spot.
True.
I see Travis Hunter playing a heavier role in the cornerback role.
Yeah.
And if they need him, he can be a slot wide receiver too.
Because all of us, because
like,
you've got Malik Nabers and you've got Darius Slayton as your two. I don't like Darius Slayton as a two. I'd rather he is your three.
I Travis Hunter as a two, though. That's the thing. That fits. That's why I like the Giants in particular better.
And because you have the choice there where you want to do them. You might not run them both. You might pick one. But at least it gives you the options.
Like, and I think Travis Hunter as a slot wide receiver would be a really good option. Like,
yeah.
And it's obviously hard for Travis Hunter to be as good as he has in college because the workload in the NFL is a lot higher.
You can't play both sides.
I don't think he can consistently play both sides the whole league. I think he's going to have to pick what he wants to do better.
Maybe for seasons. Maybe like at a season of time he switches, but he's going to have to make
a commitment. I think, though, he's a better corner than he is.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Wide receiver. So I think, and that's but of all the teams to sort of need.
Like, yeah, of all the teams to have a choice, it would be the Giants.
Yeah, because they don't need to rely on Travis Hunter to also be that wide receiver.
They also don't want Shedeur Sanders.
No.
Because they've just signed Jameis Winston.
And
they've signed Russell Wilson.
Yep.
And they've got
Tony DeVito as well.
Yes.
So they've got competition.
They don't need a QB.
I don't think they're, obviously, with that offseason movement, I don't think they're planning on signing or drafting a QB. So I think for them, I think Travis Hunter is there. I think Travis Hunter makes the most sense at the Giants. I could also see him sort of playing at the Titans, but obviously, I think it's harder for the Titans when they don't have that quarterback role as much.
Because the Titans have Will Levis starting for them. Yeah. And you can't be a team and have Will Levis as your starting quarterback.
The thing is, if the Giants for some reason pass up on Travis Hunter, I'm scared of what the Patriots will be with Travis Hunter on that team.
Very true.
Because they just got Stephon Diggs as well.
Yeah.
And it's the same sort of situation. He doesn't need to be the wide receiver one. He can be at the corner room. He can be that guy. Drake May, he's a solid quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a top five quarterback.
Like, you draft Drake May, but you don't get another quarterback the next year.
I think he is a great quarterback. He's got a lot of potential, and I think they need to trust in him.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think with that, the addition of Travis Hunter into the Pats team, I think, is scary.
My next question is, right, if Shedeur Sanders doesn't get drafted by the Titans or the Browns or the Giants, where does he go? Because the Patriots are set with Drake May. Yep. The Jags are set with Trevor Lawrence. You've paid him way too much money to move on now. The Raiders just got Geno Smith.
Yeah. Oh, he's got quarterbacks, yeah.
Yep. Does he go to the Jets? But the Jets have Justin Fields now.
Yeah.
Does he go to Carolina with Bryce Young?
I think I can see him go to the Saints, maybe.
Maybe to replace Derek Carr. If he falls, I think if he falls to 9, then the Saints always take Shedeur Sanders there.
I think so.
But if he might go to the Jets is the other thing. It's just an awkward spot for the rest of them.
It really is, yeah.
Patriots just drafted one.
Yeah.
Jags have just paid way too much money for one. And the Raiders just traded for one.
Geno Smith, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's hard to see him go anywhere else. I do think, though, it's going to be hard. Like, where do you see Ashton Jeanty going?
I see him falling to 12 and going to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you don't need him in the Niners, because you've got CMC, you've got everyone.
They could take a risk.
CMC, Jordan Mason, you've got everyone.
Yeah.
You've got Alvin Kamara on the Saints.
What about the Bears?
Who do the Bears have? Like Nick Chubb?
Nah, that's Browns. That's
the Browns.
Bears, I can't remember, to be honest with you, but I do.
I don't watch Bears football, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, neither do I. But I think it's going to be hard for him to be a top five pick. Like, I think quality wise, he's there.
But no one needs a running back.
No one in this class really like.
It's DeAndre Swift, and he's fine.
He's good, but is he Ashton Jeanty? Like,
no.
And obviously, Ashton Jeanty. The one stat that sticks out to me most about Ashton Jeanty was in college, he was averaging like more yards per carry than anyone after contact.
Yeah,
which is absolutely insane.
That's a Saquon Barkley stat.
I think it's better.
That's a Saquon Barkley. That's a Derrick Henry stat. Like, you only see those stats from our big guys.
Yeah. And Ashton Jeanty isn't a big guy. He's just buff.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard to see him going super high, obviously, just because of the need for the running back isn't
massive. Yep.
It would be awesome if somehow, I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but James Cook is looking to get traded. If somehow we trade up for a pick to another team, like as the Bills, I could nearly see us taking Ashton Jeanty. If we, for example, trade like James Cook for like, who needs a running back? Maybe, like, you could even go Pats. Like, if we give them James Cook, we take their fourth pick, we could get Ashton Jeanty. Like,
it's true.
It's, and James Cook is the kind of guy who would be of a top five quality pick. He'd be worth it.
Yeah.
Like, because he is a quality running back. he just wants too much money from us this year, and I don't think we're willing to give him that.
Yeah, right.
Don't get me wrong. I think he's well deserving of the 15 mil he's asking for. I think it's just the situation that the Bills are in. It's a really tough cap space. And I could potentially, I don't hate the fact that if now that we are, like, I think James Cook is actually requesting a trade at this point. So I think with that, I think what we could do is potentially trade up and get Ashton Jeanty. And I don't hate that. Or we just trade for another running back of some sort.
It's true.
Because we need to get a replacement of some sort. And I don't hate leaning on the future of that instead.
Yeah.
And obviously, how good is Ashton Jeanty going to be with a quarterback like Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Like, the guy who knows the game that well. I think it'd be scary. I don't hate it. But, yeah, I think obviously another draft target is for the Bills defensively. So it's hard to say that we'll trade up and go for a guy like Jeanty when we've got a defense to sort of work on a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get you. All right.
Next topic.
Yep.
Let's go. I got Ken Filio back to back.
What do you think? I think they should be the title favorites.
I agree.
If not for the pieces that they've lost in free agency.
Yeah.
They've lost CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah. They've lost CJ Gardner-Johnson. They've lost offensive linesman Mekhi Becton. They've lost Darius Slay. They've
Josh Sweat leaving too is Milton big.
Williams. Yeah, Josh Sweat leaving as well.
They've lost a lot of key pieces. And I'm sure they'll make it back.
I think most of it is on the defense though.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't lost a lot offensively, so...
They've still got Jordan Mailata. They've still got Lane Johnson. Oh, they've still got Zach Bourne.
Like, you guys are still an offensive tyrant. Like,
yeah.
So I wouldn't be too
and
scared.
Probably the best overall skill positions in the league.
Yeah.
With Smitty and AJ Brown.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts. Yeah, it's just, it's a powerhouse.
Absolutely.
But you've lost some key pieces, and I just don't know if it keeps you in title contention. You've got other teams coming up.
I actually
up.
Think it's definitely contention.
Oh, it's, no, contention, but, yeah, but like title favorites, maybe not.
Yeah. It's hard to see that. Obviously.
Because I think this is the best year for the Ravens to make a run.
Yep.
And if it's not, then the Ravens aren't getting a Super Bowl in Lamar Jackson's
career. Do you see the
career.
Chiefs snapping back?
It'll be hard to come back from that. But, of course, if anyone can do it, it's Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes.
Yep. I think it's hard to see Travis Hunter doing what he used to.
Like, yeah.
Just from last season.
Travis Kelce?
Oh, yep. Travis Kelce. My fault.
He's old.
He's getting old. He's not performing as well as he used to. And yep. I think even just in the Super Bowl, he wasn't providing as much as an option
yeah.
as what he needed. But, yeah, I think definitely Eagles have the opportunity to go back to
if anyone can do it, it's Saquon.
I think it's just going to be they need to get a pick up a couple more pieces. What kind of picks do you guys have?
It won't be good. We'll have the last pick in the first round because
yeah.
we just won.
Yeah, no, I know that. But, like, what about second rounds do you got?
We have all our own picks, which is
you
good.
You have your own picks? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So,
I mean, if you guys can pick up a couple good defensive players.
Our GM's been doing well.
You might also need another backup corner.
Maybe.
I think might be the way to go. In this corner.
We've got Quinyon Mitchell. Like, we've got Cooper DeJean. So.
Yeah. I think you need a third option, though.
Yeah.
Just in case one of them gets hurt. So, and I think the corner room in this draft is quite high
yeah.
level. So it wouldn't be bad if you do that. But yeah.
Next one I've got. Who is coming out of the AFC South, which is traditionally known as the worst division in football?
Yeah.
Texans, Colts, Jags, Titans. What a poverty division.
It's very poverty. I think it's hard to say the Texans don't come out of that.
Although they've lost a lot. They've lost, like Tank Dell's still coming back from injury, which obviously he will do in the offseason.
Pick up some defensive guys from you.
Yeah, yeah. Josh Sweat went over there. But
they still have Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud. Like, for me, I still think they're better than what else is there.
But I think the reason that they had such an easy run was because the rest of the division was so bad. But if you look at the Titans that have regrouped with Cam Ward, or the Jags squad where Trevor Lawrence doesn't fall to injury, or even a Colts squad if they can pick up a decent quarterback, then I think you're looking at a decently competitive race.
Fair enough. I think if Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas were the same they were last year, I think
Brian Thomas is going to take a leap, 100%.
Absolutely.
That guy's so good.
I think it's sad how much he was in Malik Nabers' shadow.
Yeah, very true. Year.
because he was just as good.
But they're both first round fantasy picks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think they're both like first round fantasy picks is a bit of a stretch.
I don't know.
Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers with Jameis Winston is going to put up yardage.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. But for me, I still think it's the Texans just because we haven't seen much from the rest of them. I want to kind of see how the draft goes first, and then we can come back to it maybe.
Okay.
It might be a bit of a different story then.
Yeah, sure.
I think it definitely is very dependent on how this draft goes, though.
Yeah, I like that.
What do you think?
I think it's between the Texans and the Jags.
Yep, I agree.
Because the Jags look scary if Trevor Lawrence plays well.
Yeah.
Because you pay that guy a lot of money, he's got to have some potential somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And if Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. can actually lock in, then we're seeing something scary coming out of Jacksonville.
Yep, I definitely agree. the question is, how good is that new coach, though? What are your opinions on him?
Listen, there's a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Can't make any judgment just yet.
Nah.
My last one on NFL would be... My question is, when do the Bengals give up and, sort of just start rebuilding?
Yeah.
Because Joe Burrow is going to be Joe Burrow for another 5 years. I think it's hard to see them at the moment beat what is there. Beat Philly, beat the Ravens, beat the Bills. I don't see them doing much of that, even the Chiefs as well. I think it's hard to see them sort of making a huge playoff push. I can see them as a playoff team, absolutely. But even the Chargers and whatnot, like they're getting a step up these days. I think it's hard to see them sort of, you know, come out top of that sort of region.
You can't make many free agency moves when you're paying three players
a huge
75% of your salary.
Exactly. I think the smarter move would have been to let T. Higgins go.
Or at least trade him for some kind of defensive package.
Yeah, because they've lost a lot since they got rid of Von Miller.
And if you keep playing like you are now, like not making any moves in your defense, Joe Burrow is going to end up like Tua and get some crazy head injury from all these sacks that he's going to be taking.
I think they just need to sort of take a step back, get a couple more picks in the next couple of years or like very quickly.
I think they need to draft well because
I think so too.
They don't have enough money to do anything in free agency, but all they need is those few key pieces in your O-line and your D-line.
Yeah.
And you're looking at a scary team because Chase Brown's a top 10 running back and you've got probably the best receiving core in the league outside of maybe the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like or the Vikings. Because the Vikings have obviously Jay Jettas and Jordan Addison.
I think Addison's leaving this year. I don't know if you've seen it, but if he is to be let go, he's the favorite to go to the Bills.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we won't get into that. I think it's hard to see the Bengals beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
It's hard to see the Bengals beat the Bills. Hard to see them beat the Chiefs. Hard to see them beat... I feel like I'm missing someone important as well. But it's... Joe Burrow is that guy.
Yeah.
I think he's... arguable between the top three quarterbacks in the league and Mahomes, Josh Allen.
And it's him and Pat Mahomes in the top three.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those two.
Yeah. I think it's hard to not give him that credit. Between like obviously Lamar and Josh Allen, I'd have above them both, but Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow for me are the next two.
Yeah.
But obviously Chase. Just a hugely good, player.
Yeah.
They've got the offensive talent. I think you should step up more on defense. And obviously, it was a huge letdown what happened last year and how they sort of just were just bang average for a team that was as good as they are.
It needs to be better than that.
I think if they can't get it in the next 2 years, I think they seriously need to have a think about rebuilding.
Yeah,
because they need to get the best they can out of Joe Burrow, and if they don't, it'd be a huge waste of talent.
I think you keep Joe Burrow through the rebuild.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you never let him go.
Never let him go. Never.
Because but maybe you ship T. Higgins. Maybe you ship Chase Brown. And I think the next step is probably letting go of Trey Hendrickson in the defense, because you can get a package for him if you send him to someone who needs a defense.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's hard to, obviously you need to keep Joe Burrow. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to see the Bengals doing much in terms of winning a Super Bowl in the next 3 years.
Because they got close, but
2021, I think it was 2020 against the Rams. They were in the Super Bowl the year after they made it to the conference final.
That would have been really cool. It's been 3 years.
They've had their opportunities, but it's been like 3 years since they've made an actual playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a huge job. Like, they haven't even made the playoffs, which has been a huge disappointment for the team that they have. So it's, again, I think it's just they need to draft smart or utilize some trades just to make the team a little bit better in what potentially could happen there.
No, I agree.
What do you got last?
All right. We're going to map out this first round of fantasy football.
Yep.
Just what we think is going to happen, what, I guess, if we were the GMs of these teams, who are we taking first, second, third, et cetera, et cetera.
In our league, I get to pick what number pick I get. So,
yeah. I think
I'm in an interesting spot. The first pick
is either going to be Saquon or Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
Which one do you think is better? Who would you take first?
I think there's more upside on Ja'Marr Chase. But
probably. Like, it's very easy to get multiple 30-point games or, like, a 50-point game from Ja'Marr Chase just because of all these catches he's getting. Like, he can get 100 yards.
Such a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's obviously consistency you're getting out of Saquon. But the problem is, in that team in particular, the offense is very spread. So he's not always going to be the number one option. Like you've got good receivers on that team as well.
Which is the same as the risk of taking AJ Brown
exactly
as a fantasy pick.
Exactly. So that's why, for me, I think Ja'Marr Chase is probably the better pick.
Yep.
Just because, obviously, you get more points as a receiver too when you do get those long-distance catches.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, with the receptions, you get points and everything too. I think it's hard to go past Ja'Marr Chase is number one for me.
Sure. And then Saquon then would fall to number two?
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I think the third pick is pretty...
You can nearly make an argument between Jefferson, but I think it's going to be Saquon.
Yeah. And then I think those two are the first and second. The third is pretty universal in taking Jay Jettis.
Yep.
The fourth and from then on is kind of where it falls.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you're looking at my kind of best estimate of a first and second round.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
Who would you take over Derrick Henry and Amon-Ra as if you're a fantasy GM?
I think Jahmyr Gibbs is probably ahead of Derrick Henry for me.
Yep.
If you probably swap those two around, I probably like it a little bit better.
Yep.
But there's a lot of movement that you can have in that running back room, I believe.
Yeah, so that's very true.
For me, I would have Jahmyr Gibbs at the four.
Yep.
And then I would also, I probably like where Amon-Ra is.
Back at the five.
Sorry, I'm messing this up. I like Jahmyr Gibbs at the four, Amon-Ra at the five, Derrick Henry at six. Bijan, you could nearly take over him. Six and seven, I would take Derrick Henry or Bijan. Josh Jacobs, he does have a lot of upside, but we just didn't see much out of him this year.
I think him and Bucky Irving are in very similar situations.
Yeah.
A lot of upside if you take a risk and take them.
I absolutely think so.
But it's a gamble, right?
But it is a gamble.
But I think same with the Bucks season could easily fall apart.
Safer than Bucky Irving.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Mixon's getting old.
Joe Mixon's getting older. I think nine is okay. You could nearly take Kamara over him, but
because this list was also made before Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers took their steps.
Yeah.
So I would take them. I think I would take Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas over Devon Achane.
Really? I could see Achane being where Joe Mixon is.
I could see Achane being nine.
Because what Achane offers on that team, like what we saw of Tyreek, he obviously said he wants to leave.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's going to happen, but he wants to. I don't know what he's best. But it's hard to see sort of like a guy who is as quick and as versatile as Achane going any lower.
Yeah.
I do like Nacua at 11. I could see him go a little bit higher in potential leagues. Again, sort of depends on what happens.
Where does Tyreek Hill go?
Oh, Tyreek Hill. He's so skeptical of what you're going to get out of
him. Because he went second in most leagues this year.
Yeah. And for me, who took him at second, I have huge regrets. Because he was just a no-go. Because
you missed guys like even
Alvin
Kamara did better.
Like there's so many guys.
We'll stay on the first round.
Hang on to the past. CeeDee Lamb, I think he can make a push to the first round. It's obviously hard to say with Dak Prescott not being as there.
Yeah.
I
mean, I'm expecting more from Dak Prescott this year.
Yeah.
But we say like every year. Yeah. That's my first round. I don't know. It's also very up in the air. We still need to know, like, draft obviously, and positions.
Preseason's
and stuff.
Gonna change a lot of it, but yeah. I think what you've got there is pretty good. For me, I'm probably looking. Ideally, I want to go probably top six pick.
Yep.
Maybe towards the four or five, six sort of
pick. I'd be okay taking a late first round pick and taking an early second round.
Yeah.
Because it means I could potentially pair two top guys. A lot of upside with some pretty safe.
Yeah.
So like, I could even take look a guy like Devon Achane,
for
which
me,
is safety.
I think the safety bet for me, I want to go is like 4 to 10.
Yeah.
I'm looking ideally around then, but obviously I haven't got a lot of thought into it yet. I'll probably.
Because I think I would go
a bit closer.
Yeah, like I think I would go a lot of upside with my first round pick in a guy like Bucky Irving or Josh Jacobs or Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
And then my second pick would be a lot safer, like a Devon Achane or a, I don't know, like a Devonta Adams or Mike Evans type pick.
Yeah.
Like someone who I know is going to put up yardage and I don't have to worry about.
Yeah. I think Drake London could make a push for a higher pick.
Drake London's very good.
Depending on how Penix goes this year as well, I think he could be a really good pickup.
If you didn't see much of Penix.
No.
I'm also excited for all our Vikings wide receivers with JJ McCarthy.
Yep.
And because that could mean a whole bunch of more upside for him or a whole bunch of less upside if JJ
Where
McCarthy.
Where did Sam Darnold go again?
He went to. I have no idea. I remember reading about it.
I do.
Oh, he's a Seahawk.
Seahawk, that's right. How did the Seahawks manage to give up everything and just stay in the same sort of spot there?
I don't know. They instead of Geno Smith, they've got Sam Darnold now. So,
and I don't
congrats.
Hate that. I don't hate that. Like, Sam Darnold was really good for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Like, for what was expected.
Because he was a backup.
Yeah, exactly. It was really good.
All right. I think that brings us to the end of the NFL.
Yeah.
Which means I'm excited. We've got our miscellaneous topics.
Yep.
This could be a whole lot of anything you've got.
Yep. Who wants
to start? Do you want me to start?
You seem pretty excited. I'll let you go first.
I'm so excited. All right. Let's start. All right. If you could make any body part detachable, what would it be?
So we're talking that it's
it
still functional?
And it still functions.
Still functional. I think I would love it to be one of my hands.
One of your hands?
Because I genuinely could throw hands in.
You could.
Like I could pick up the other one and just throw it at someone.
You're lying in bed, you detach your hand, it walks and turn off the light.
Exactly.
It comes back to you.
Like, well, I mean, how's it going to climb the wall? It's not the one from
It's true.
The Addams Family, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think for me, yeah, I'd go hand.
Your other options are like
I can genuinely throw hands at someone. Like imagine throwing my weaker hand, pick
true.
It up, and just throw it at someone, and then punch them. Like
you take your ear off and you leave it in a room, and then you leave, and now you've got a like a spot of listening in that room.
Wow, that's actually smart.
Or even
the
like
same
an,
as
eye.
An eye.
Yeah. You Damn. Could, or like you need to get something from under a couch. You can take your eye off instead of having to bend and get on your knees.
Yeah, right. Or for example, if you're in like a big crowd, just take your eye out.
Hold yeah, exactly. Eye, at a
see
concert.
About everyone. Wow.
Yeah.
What have you got?
I don't know. I think I would go maybe the ear.
Okay.
Of course, hand is good too, but like, I don't know. You've got a lot of options here. Hey.
Yeah, I think for me, it'd be hand or eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would use the ear a lot.
Yeah. Here's a question though. Does it just randomly fall off sometimes? Or
no, you can take it off and put it back on. It's like
so it's like
a magnet?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Cool.
I think an eye is pretty cool in thinking about that.
Yeah right? That's like cool. There's a lot of uses for an eye. You've got a bad view, fix the view.
Yep.
All of a sudden, instead of it being attached to your head, it's attached to your wingspan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you that's can go cool. anywhere. Or you put it somewhere.
Yeah.
And you've just got an eye there.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Cool. Good question.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right.
You're up next.
I'm going to stick sport based.
Yeah, cool.
Just because both of mine are actually, in fairness. I haven't stretched out too much just in the first sort of pot. But PGA Tour, how sick would it be if they had an all-star weekend?
So this is golf.
Yes, this is golf.
Yeah, right.
I'm a golfer. You know
yep.
that. I play golf.
Yep.
I'm probably like a 30 handicapper sort of thing.
Yep.
Not too great. Masters this week, but imagine they had an all-star weekend.
Enlighten me what would be involved in an
okay,
all-star weekend
I've got
for golf.
Four four competitions in the All-Star Weekend for golf.
Yep.
First of all, obviously, you've got the long drive competitions.
Sure.
A guy like Bryson DeChambeau who already competes in them because they are a thing already.
Yeah.
I think it'd just be cool to see it from the best golfer in the world.
But an official one. Yeah, exactly.
Like, they do it, like, there's obviously guys who are out there, like, I think this guy's Martin Borgheimer or something. He's insanely good at driving the ball. He's not a PGA player, though. Like, the rest of his golf fame isn't there. He just knows how to drive the ball far and straight.
Right.
I think it'd be awesome to see PGA-level golfers do it, though.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bryson DeChambeau would probably beat it because he actually participates in long drive competitions. But, yeah, that's the one. Obviously, it's just really cool just hitting a ball far.
Yeah, sick.
How to please a man, hit a ball far.
Like, that's true.
How it happens.
Sweet.
Next one will be closer to the pin challenges. Just get a simple par three, make it look really cool, like put a bunch of water around it, so make it a really small green. Or
yeah, right.
Just have it who can get closest to the hole.
I like
simple
that.
Simple as that. It'd be really cool. Test a bit of skill. It takes all the pressure off the guys. Like, they don't have to sort of just play it safe. They can actually be just really aggressive and go at the hole.
Yeah, nice.
Pretty cool. I think, like, get, like, two shots each, see how that goes. Like, a selected group, like a three-point contest even.
I like that.
You select a couple guys, depending on distances. Like, you can do it from far. You can do it from close, like, depending on what they want to do with that.
Yeah, cool.
I think, are you familiar with what a stinger is?
No.
In a golf shot. So, essentially, in the golf shot, it's something where you pretty much, it's a ball that starts off really low and rises.
Yeah, sure.
So, it flies fast, stays really low, and sort of rises up.
Yeah,
I think if you, for example, have a competition of people hitting a stinger through a really tight window, that would be awesome to see. Like,
yeah,
for
right.
example, stick them in some tight trees. They have to hit a stinger through that and, like, onto the green or whatnot. That'd be awesome to see.
That's pretty cool.
Something I could probably do because I find myself in the trees fairly often on the golf course.
Right.
But last one would be, like, the highest flop shot. Like, whoever could get it, just generally the peak. Like,
yeah,
how
right.
high someone
like
could
actually get a high shot.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's just a flop shot. I think that'd be pretty awesome to see. It might bring a couple more fans to the golf game sort of thing. Might make it a bit more enjoyable every now and then.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it'd be hard to sort of pick when you do it.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a lot of competitions in PGA and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it sort of has to be its own designated thing, I think.
Yeah, right.
What are your thoughts?
No, I like it. I think it'd bring a lot of viewership of people who don't watch golf because it's boring or whatever
absolutely.
The allegations are.
It'd make it
who just want to see a guy hit a ball as far as they can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's great.
It'd be a bit cooler.
Yeah, nice.
Anyways, that's my topic.
And then they get familiar with all these golf names.
Yeah, yep.
Just by who can hit a ball the furthest.
Exactly.
No, that's great. I love it. All right, my next one.
Next.
Not sport at all.
Okay. is this the one I think it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, probably. Who is your Mount Rushmore of green characters? I've got sort of a list you can look at here.
Wow.
And who would you say are the four? This is influence. This is influence. This is just like overall range. This is everything.
You got guys like Shrek. You got like Perry the Platypus counts too. Damn. All
right. This is my
the frog.
My first thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Are there's two immediates. Two locks for the Hall of Fame.
What do you got?
Kermit the Frog.
Yep.
And Yoshi.
I can also agree with that.
I think you have to have those two in any Mount Rushmore of green characters.
Yoshi, Kermit the Frog. I can back that. I can lock that in.
All right.
For me, huge Star Wars fan.
Yep.
I would love to see Yoda there.
I think Yoda's got to be there.
I think he has to be there too. He's such an inspiration.
He's doing so much for the green community.
So much for the green community, let alone the rebels. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That guy is just an inspiration to everyone.
Like, that's just a green guy.
He's
even repping on the lightsaber. Like,
yeah, he's got a green lightsaber. He's just green.
Yeah, like, he's just green.
And he's just a small green dude.
Like, yeah, yeah. And he's doing it for the short guys too.
Exactly.
Like, you have Yoda on your Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
So many people are identifying with him to go for the green path. They're like, if Yoda can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
I think, so that's our three. My last one is Mike Wazowski our fourth?
Okay.
He's a green character.
I don't hate it. I personally would love to see the Green Ninja there.
The Green Ninja?
Yeah, from Ninjago.
Like Lloyd.
Lloyd.
I'd yeah,
love
right.
to see Lloyd there.
Hey, shout out Lloyd, man.
Even though it was robbed off of Kai, I think...
No, that's green. That's
the Green
that's...
Ninja.
And the character development that the Green Ninja showed.
Yeah.
I think we'd be talking about
really
Ninjago.
Sad. It was really sad to see it not go to Kai, even though it was supposed to be him.
I think Kai deserved it.
I think Kai deserved it more.
That's neither here nor there.
I think if it was Kai in that green suit, I'd be more comfortable putting him in the Mount Rushmore. Yep. But I think it's definitely still up for debate. But I would love to see the green.
Okay, fair. We've also got... All right, so our three at the moment, or our three kind of locks. We've got Yoda, Kermit the Frog, yep. and Yoshi.
Yep, I like it.
Is Luigi there? We've got Luigi, Mike Wazowski, the Green Ninja. There's a lot of power in this green division.
I love what Luigi adds to the game, but for me, he's not as strong as what a Mario would be.
It's
like,
true.
Obviously, Mario's a different color. But
like, I think Mario's a lot for the red.
He's not as strong a character. You know what I mean? Like, I love what he brings to the game. I love what he brings to the table. He's such a huge talent. To what he brings.
And he puts points on the board.
Exactly. Like, he puts points on the board.
He averages a double-double, right?
Yeah,
he puts points. He gets his rebounds.
He's ready to play. And he's just...
Kind of flies under the radar. Like, he's an underrated player.
He reminds me of, like almost Lou Williams, you know?
Yeah,
like, just not a standout guy, but he's consistently there.
Or even like a Seth Curry. Think about how good we talk about Seth Curry if Seth wasn't in the league.
Exactly. Like, I think... It's hard to go past what he contributes to the team. But
so shout out Luigi.
Shout out Luigi. I think he's a great team player, but for me, I don't know if he's enough to be there.
He's similar with Mike Wazowski. Mike Wazowski kind of falls because of how much he relies on that Sully guy.
Yeah.
And that's a great team.
Sully is a huge
It's one of the best duos.
Yeah.
But how much can you put that on Mike Wazowski?
Exactly.
Right?
It's like what you see out of, for example, what's a good example of this? Like the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Like back when they were there. Like, don't get me wrong, Splash Brothers.
Yeah.
They were a great duo.
They were a power
great
duo.
Like they were top level talents, but Steph Curry was always generations ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think about the Hulk?
I like the Hulk. It's the temper issues, man.
Yeah.
Can he keep his emotions in check? Right?
If he can keep his emotions in check?
Because if you can't keep your cool in a press interview, or like under the heater in the heat of fire, what can you do?
But
how's
the problem? Well, here's the problem that lies with that. If he's too cool, he's not green.
It's true.
He's just Bruce Banner,
and that kind of makes me take him away.
So he has to.
If you want the green of Hulk, you have to take the anger issues with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a choice I'd make.
It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
It's I would rather take. Is the conversation Luigi or Mike Wazowski? Because they're both duo players. Like, the difference in that is Yoshi, right? Yoshi started out as just the sidekick.
Yeah.
But then I noticed that he started building these powers more, and he's kind of created his own identity.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen him play for those Mario Kart guys. You've seen him play in that Super Smash Bros. Division, and he destroys, right?
Yeah.
Like, that he's made his identity in these games by being everyone's favorite player, right?
Absolutely.
He's a fan favorite, and he gets... Just been- He gets people in seat. He will get people to watch your game if you've got that Yoshi guy on the board.
It's like what Luka was to the Mavs.
Yeah, I don't know if Luigi's putting people in seats. Exactly.
Like, I think, what do you think about, I'd love to say all of them, but we'd have to pick one, the Ninja Turtles.
Which Ninja Turtle would you pick?
I think it's got to be Leonardo.
It's like, if you look at the Ninja
Raphael's
Turtles.
Raphael's got the same sort of problems as Hulk.
Yeah,
like Michelangelo, that guy just too dumb.
I'm a Michelangelo fan.
I love that guy.
I've been from day one.
Love what he brings to the table.
But
he
if you're
so
looking
much
at the Ninja Turtles
the
and you need one to put in Mount Rushmore,
it's got to be Leonardo. I think there's an argument for Donatello.
Maybe.
Because
he contributes a lot.
He contributes a lot in the way his IQ and the way he thinks and sees the game.
Like, yeah.
I think he contributes and brings a lot to the table. But Leonardo, he's just that guy. Like,
yeah.
So what do you think? We got... Yoda, we got Kermit the Frog. Who else we got? We got...
And Yoshi.
Yoshi.
And I guess our debate is we've got Mike Wazowski, Luigi.
Or Leonardo. Maybe.
I guess so. I would probably lean Luigi. He does a lot for the green. Like, I think what happens is you look at these characters and they're identifiable by their colors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and the color green is what makes Luigi Luigi.
Yeah.
He does a lot for the green community.
Yeah.
Like, he's out there doing the charity work. And... I think that's enough to put him on the Mount Rushmore. I would go him over guys like Mike Wazowski. I would go him over guys like Donatello or Leonardo.
Yeah, I can see it. The thing is, there's four turtles, so I think that takes a bit away from Leonardo.
It does.
It's not just him. You know what? I'll shake hand on it.
All right, so what is that for?
It's Luigi.
Luigi, Yoshi,
yep.
Yoda, and Kermit the Frog.
Yep.
Hey, shout out Green, man.
Shout out Green.
What a
color.
That's
the way to go. All right, I got one last miscellaneous topic.
Yeah.
I love this one personally.
Yeah.
Best walk-in songs of all time for a sports team.
Here Comes the Boom.
Here Comes the Boom?
Great walk-in song. Really? You walk into "Here Comes the Boom." Wow. Yeah.
I can back that. It's a good song. I think you can't get past Enter Sandman.
True. Enter Sandman's a great song to walk into.
As well, you know what I would love? I love personally for a UFC fighter in the air tonight, Phil Collins. Yeah. Every time that song comes on, I think of that gorilla in the Cadbury ad. That is peak. Like, I think what it brings to the table is so much excitement. It brings a lot of suspense. It goes, starts off slow, hit him with a bang. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Same with Enter Sandman.
It's hard to go past the Rocky theme.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's true.
That is the walk-in song of all time. Yeah. Like, you
look, I think Enter Sandman's there.
It does. The Rocky theme did a lot for the walk-in song community.
It did.
And I think it's nearly the poster child.
Yeah.
Whether it's the best, I don't know. It's up there, though.
It's up there.
Same with Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
I was listening to Eye of the Tiger this morning. Shout out my sister. sent me a reel of Eye of the Tiger on a recorder.
Yep.
It was sick, man.
That's sick.
I could walk into that every day.
I think, what do you think of any of the classic Creed songs? Some of those guys slap.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's true.
I think it's a walkout song for me. Enter Sandman is the top.
Is your one?
I would say that.
Hey, and I think we can have our differing opinions on this because at the end of the day, we are two different people and we walk out to a different vibe.
Yeah, I do think you can't go past Enter Sandman though. That's just for me.
Hey, that's fair.
As you said, we're different people.
Yeah.
We have our opinions. But for me, Enter Sandman is the way to go.
Hey, Metallica, man. They did well.
Shout out Metallica.
Facts.
They're good. Bring them off to the table.
All right. My last one.
Last one.
The Titanic, man. If I was a part of the Titanic, that ship is not crashing.
What do you mean? How are you going to stop that from happening?
It's an iceberg. How do you not see an iceberg?
What are you saying if you were the captain?
I'm saying if I was anywhere in it, I'd just be like, there's an iceberg there. Steer. Turn the wheel, man.
Oh, what? You know, it's like in the dead of night when it happens too. Okay, the problem is with the Titanic, they had so many people already telling them, they just didn't pay attention to the calls.
No, but I would, like...
They didn't listen to any of it. They already had so many telecommunications.
Not just, like, if I was building, like, the construction of the Titanic, I'd be like, wait, what about night times? What you need to see? Put in better lights. Like, that's just common sense, right? I'm convinced that there were so many dumb mistakes.
How far do those lights go, though? That's the thing. The rest of it's pitch black.
It's a fog, like a floodlight. That goes, like, good distance.
A good distance.
Yeah.
Right. Give me an estimation of how far.
Oh, I don't know.
Like, because talk about how long do you think a ship that big is going to take to steer out of the way?
I don't know. I've been on cruises, man. They steer.
They do steer. That's true. But also, technology is much better than what it was these days, like, in terms of steering a ship.
All right. There was so many dumb mistakes made that I'm convinced it's got to be staged. Like, it's got to be a hit. There's someone on that ship that needed to die.
Do you reckon they did it just for the movie?
That's what I was about to say. Maybe it was a box office move. They needed the Titanic to sink so that the movie could come out.
Just so Leonardo DiCaprio could have his hit.
Could have his moment.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Maybe it was a My Heart Will Go On moment. Maybe they needed the song to be a hit.
Oh, that's true. They heard Celine Dion.
Yeah.
I couldn't, like, I need a ship to
sink. I couldn't remember if it was Celine Dion or Whitney Houston.
Slaney on.
God. Hey, there were so many dumb mistakes that were made.
Yeah.
They're like their radio, they just didn't bother to have radio.
Exactly. They didn't listen to it. The telecoms, they got so many of them. They
listen to it. The screws that they used to tighten the boat, they were made of zinc, right? Which gets famously brittle in cold weather. So you're going through the Atlantic Ocean with iceberg. Why would you not use stronger nails?
Hey, just saying. We got to learn from something, right?
It's true. It would have happened one day.
You learn from your mistakes.
But I'm convinced that there was so much that went wrong that it had to be staged. Intentional. Yeah.
Right. That is controversial. I'm not sure how much I believe it.
Hey.
But
if LeBron captained the Titanic, it's not sinking.
LeBron would have picked it up and stopped it from sinking.
I think so. Or he would have just stopped
it. Also, mind you, LeBron is the sunshine. They would have been able to see. It wouldn't have been nighttime around him.
Hey, LeBron, man.
What a guy.
What a guy.
Steph Curry, man. So inspirational.
That Tom Brady guy.
All right. I think we might have to end it there.
All right. Well, thank you for joining. Opening podcast went well.
Went great. I think top 10 of all time.
Yep.
Conversation.
I think so. That was a top 10 conversation of all time that's ever been had between any two people.
I agree. It's pretty good.
Sick, man.
Let's go.
Hey, shout out conversations.
Shout out conversations.
All right. Sweet. See you guys later.
Yeah.